Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the Junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Episode 128 of Bit Season here. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez, broadcasting from an alternate location.
I wonder if it sounds any different to the listeners out there than it usually does. We're in a side production studio.
I know. I'm very out of sorts right now. Can you hand me that blue pen in front of you? Because
sure.
Mine doesn't work.
Valdez is actually talking to my back right now.
It's like Gladiator when he says, "Don't turn your back on me, slave."
Yes.
And then he turns around and realizes that it's Russell Crowe. That's exactly what's going on right now. I'm staring at the back of Drab's Dodgers hat. And looking at the back of his neck and the fact that he might need a little bit of a shape-up.
Yeah, I probably do need a shape-up here. If you can't tell, my voice is still a little banged up.
Drab's still under the weather. Drab still has the Spanish flu.
We'll get through it. A little different show here, but we'll definitely get through it. You know, really put Valdez and I's chemistry to the test here. Usually I like looking at his sparkling blue eyes.
I can kind of figure out what Drab's going to say just by the twinkle in his eye. Oh, hey, speaking of things that we want to promote, Drab, we are on a mission to promote our cameos, put the word back out there.
We're on a cameo tear this week. So get in and give us, if you haven't got one before, if you like getting them, we got five-star reviews. Everybody likes them.
Yeah, just
spend a lot of time on them.
Just search Junkies Producers and Cameo, and if you want one for Mother's Day or a birthday or a shout-out or anything like that.
If you're questioning whether we do a good job on our cameos, go watch other people's cameos and how they're like 15 seconds long and just a money grab. No, we actually really like... She's just bantering back and forth about stupid stuff.
It's like a 3-minute show that we do, that we put on. Also, the more detail you put in, the better, and probably the longer we'll go.
Everyone's accusing me of firing back up the cameo to pay off my Spain trip.
Hey, well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why? Hey,
what's wrong with paying your bills?
Hey, I want to go back, so I got to save up for the next one.
Is that why you forced the price to increase, Trab, on our cameo?
What price increase?
That's Binomics.
Well,
you know what we figured out? This is what we figured out, honestly, is that a lot of you guys are going half. On the cameos, you're buying them in bulk in groups, and so we made the decision to make the price of the brick go up.
Valdez has been saying that price of the brick line to me 40 times this week.
We have fun doing them, and yep. Drab's bust.
No, honestly, we just like doing them, and a little extra cash.
It doesn't hurt.
I'm not going to complain about that.
So, yeah, if you want one for Mother's Day, make sure you get it in by Monday since I'm heading on vacation next week.
I really like how we're promoing something, and you're going on vacation for the next three weeks.
I'm sorry. It was in the schedule. And I know I will have the post-vacation blues when I get back. And then I'll look at my credit card statement when I get back, and my eyes will pop out of my head, and then all of a sudden cameo prices will go up even more.
How come when I go on a world vacation, right?
You get no preamble to it.
I got no preamble. Nobody even knew I was leaving. Nobody cared. I had to remind Cakes 20 times to where I was going.
I'm leaving tomorrow. What? You never told us.
Valdez has already gotten four segments on his dumb Kiowa, Iowa 4-day trip, and he hasn't even left yet. He'll get another half hour when he comes back. We know who the favorite son is on the Junkies, and it's not me.
Are you you're vacation shaming?
No, but you know how to appeal.
No,
to
no,
cakes.
No. If I'm the vacation producer, Drab is the fitness producer. Because everyone's in love with Drab's fitness.
You know what? Let's talk about that, Valdez, because maybe I'll poke holes in your theory here, but you got to be honest, all right?
Okay.
So yesterday, Valdez and I love it when we just start talking about stuff that's not in our notes. Valdez and I are in a side studio, and we're talking about, I don't know, the show or something dumb. And in walks EB. It's like 10:15 a.m., and EB starts saying something about golf to Valdez, and I'm just sitting there. And he goes, all right, I'll see you guys later. Drab, looking skinny. Don't get any skinnier. And walks out. And which made me feel good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
As I've said a million times, work in progress, but I'm happy where I'm at. I'm, I don't know, 22, 25 pounds down, somewhere around there from a year ago. But Valdez slumps back in his chair, and what do you say?
I say, I wish he would notice my progress.
Valdez killed the mood, couldn't let me have just a moment of joy there, even though there's been plenty of moments of joy, especially with EB around, you're upset that
I haven't gotten my flowers. I haven't gotten my encouragement.
Well, maybe maybe it's not showing. How much weight have you lost?
I have lost close to 40 pounds.
Since when?
Over about a year and a half.
Okay. You want to know my theory?
What's your theory?
My theory is that you're not at your prime right now.
No, I'm not. I know I'm not.
No. What I'm saying is about a year ago, okay, May of at the Live Golf thing. So that was last May.
Yeah.
You were looking sexy.
I was.
You were looking fit.
I was.
You were at your slimmest. You were at your rippedest, and that's when you were getting all your compliments. I think, without knowing any numbers, I think you put some weight back on.
Oh.
You're taking those numbers back off. You're compounding it together. I don't know where the 40 pounds is coming, but I think at one point you probably were 35 to 40 pounds down. You put some back on. Now you're losing some of that weight. It's called yo-yoing.
You think I'm yo-yoing?
I think you're yo-yoing,
okay.
And you want your compliments that you were getting last May.
Oh. I don't even remember the last May ones. Obviously, they've stuck with you.
Well, that's because that's what inspired me to get in shape, because you were looking so good, and then I saw photos of myself, and I was saying, oh my God, I'm a fat, disgusting pig. I got to get my life together. I got to finally do something. And I was a little jealous of all the attention you were getting.
Oh, and I didn't realize that.
Well, it's a motivator. So it helped inspire me.
Well, I'm happy that you're inspired.
So last year,
Hold on. Your theory is that I'm fibbing about my weight?
Not really.
Weight?
No, not really fibbing. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. But the exact numbers, I don't think that even really matters. But I think that you probably did. You put any weight back on?
I don't
from
know.
A year ago,
I don't know, because I only weigh myself when I go to my parents, because.
Right.
That's where the scale is. I refuse. I don't have a scale where I live, and I don't go weigh myself at the mill, and there's no real scale around me.
When did you last weigh yourself?
I last weighed myself, I think that was Easter. Yeah, Easter. Easter, when I went to go
and
visit my
parents. And you were 40 pounds down from your highest.
It was 34 pounds.
Okay.
34 pounds.
I'm not going to say you're lying. I think you look great.
Thank you. That's all I was seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Is cuz I know that extra little motivation makes you feel good. You know what it's like? It's like a sugar high for mm-hmm. your fitness.
Yeah, I know
you
about feel, sugar highs. Yeah.
You feel really good. You feel motivated to go do more. Maybe maybe you go set a new PR. Maybe run an extra mile.
You don't like being shamed.
No. I don't care about. I need the extra motivation. I need people to notice. Mm. And the noticing. Yeah, the rompliments fuel the burn class that you go to.
Right.
It fuels the motivation to go there. You gotta put some more wood on the fire every now and then. And right now you're getting so much wood, and then I miss the wood that you're getting.
All right. Well, look.
Does that make a little more sense?
It is, but I'm in the fourth quarter of my goal here. Remember I said I had till Memorial Day 2025.
Oh, that is true.
So after this, you can have all the ADs again.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And again, I'm still not taking my shirt off. I reneged on that. And
I feel special because I got to see a before and after pic of you.
I did show you that today. Yeah.
Would you not want that out there? That was a very flattering pic of you.
Do you know that when I was in Spain, this is honestly just kind of like how I still think myself as the same disgusting pig that I was a year ago, that I wouldn't let my wife take photos of me shirtless.
Whoa.
On the beach.
Why not?
Because it will mentally wreck me if I still don't like taking my shirt off in the bathroom, mm-hmm. and looking at myself in the mirror, still hiding. Like, honestly, upstairs, I'm a little effed up when it comes to appreciating my body.
Yeah, you know what? You got to learn to take your shirt off every now and then.
I know, but for 20 years I've been not taking my shirt off, right?
Well, that's just a habit of yours.
No, it's not. It's because I just was never comfortable. So I'm still not going to be comfortable.
You know,
but we'll see.
You know,
I'll
needed work to do. On. You needed to bring a tank top to the beach. Pictures only tank top.
Did I talk about all the topless women? Did you ask me about that? There were a lot of topless women on the beach.
And, did you catch any of them looking at your boobs? I'm sorry. That was just low-hanging fruit.
It's never as they always say, it's never as silly as you think. The only ones that were doing it were the pasty Brits, the older ones, the ones in their mm-hmm. 20s and 30s. Nothing enough to – it's just so awkward that it's like – you know how if you go to at the gym and you see a girl with a cute butt, you can't look?
Right, yeah, you got to stare.
You got to stare
at the floor.
It's the same thing. It was the exact same thing. You're
stitch,
like, oh my god,
you don't want to be a part of a Stitch and Coming Joey Swole video.
Yeah, exactly. Afraid that some girl's got her camera up on the beach and she's going to post you all over TikTok for looking at her.
Yeah.
So you just stare at the sand.
I don't know, but anyways, I see the compliments. I'm sorry.
All right, well,
but I'm not. But here's the thing: I don't want to take away from your shine,
Valdez. Needs his back scratched a little bit.
I know.
All right.
I know. I'm a delicate flower. I get it.
All right. What you know? What was the most interesting? A couple of things that just like jumped out at me about the show this week on the Junkies.
What's that?
Everyone thinks that I give JP a hard time, but wasn't that a little strange? Why is he EB? I've never seen EB compliment. Speaking of compliments, JP like he was earlier this week.
About
right?
What?
About the running. He said that it was inspiring. JP ran the 10-miler with his daughter, had an impressive time running like a 7:30 mile.
Well, it is inspiring. And I think Eric wishes – or is that – maybe jealous is the right word. But maybe Eric is jealous of the fact that JP can do some of these physical things mm-hmm. that you can't at an older age. So I think that has something to do with it. I think Eric has physical FOMO. Mm. You know what I mean?
Is JP the athlete of the bunch?
I would say maybe not in their youth, maybe not in their youth, but now as 53-year-old men, yes.
You know,
JP played the tortoise and the hare. JP was the tortoise
let the other guys have their shine early.
Yeah, the other guys had their shine growing up. Jason played basketball at a very high level. Eric basically was a bodybuilder in his late teens, early 20s. Cakes, Cakes like tennis. I don't know, but maybe he was more athletic than JP was growing up. And then finally, JP kind of caught up to them. And now JP is the one who's having the last laugh compared to the Junks.
He is having the last laugh, but I'm going to reserve the word athlete for Lurch because, you know, he was a natural athlete, good basketball player. EB claims that he was a great athlete. Not sure if he has the stats to back that up. I think he played
the tape.
On the tape. I think he played on the tape. But JP's been a long time weekend warrior, and he's fit, And he always has that he's able to push himself.
I also think he
will remind you he is a professional basketball player.
I also think that Eric is jealous of JP's willpower because think of what Eric's been doing lately. He's been into his black coffee. He's been trying to limit his sugar. Mm. He's been trying, you know what I mean? He's been trying to, he saunas every day. So obviously he's on some sort of health kick, and I think he wishes that he had the motivation that JP does. Like,
JP is very stubborn.
Yeah.
And that in some aspects of his life.
And that can work for you, especially when it comes to fitness
and motivating yourself and activity. And discipline. So props to JP. But here's what, so EB's like, oh, you're an inspiration. It's so cool that you're able to do that. And then he takes one, like, little Joan about him pounding the pavement. And JP actually said, well, I actually talked to somebody this weekend who is a physical therapist?
Yeah, PT.
First off, what makes a physical therapist an expert on running?
I don't know.
On running form. To me, those credentials aren't simpatico.
No, they just know how to fix your sore ankle.
Am I right on there or am I wrong?
I think you're right.
But JP felt that he was vindicated because a neighbor of his who's a physical therapist said that he had great running form, even though the EB has long said that he pounds the pavement.
Well, which he does. If you've ever seen JP or even heard JP run, he's a heavy foot.
But here was what was weird about it. In this like nice segment of EB like giving him compliments.
Yeah.
JP borderline got the face about something so innocent because we pushed back on him about being a pavement pounder, which in itself means absolutely nothing, and it's just somewhat amusing.
You're trying to put two and two together about how, like, why is JP angry at the fact that you called him a heavy foot?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he takes pride in his running.
Yeah, why is that?
Actually, you know what?
Why is that a trigger for JP?
I don't know, but you know what? I can actually side with JP here.
Okay,
and I'm going to give you an example. It would be like if you or anyone on the show, like, JP is a good runner, especially for his age. I would actually put him borderline a great runner. It'd be the same like for me golfing. Right? You know I'm good at golf or decent at golf, but if all of a sudden you were just making fun of how I swing the club.
Yeah, but you would say I'm the best golfer of the group. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Right? Yeah, I'd say, yeah, it's unorthodox.
Yeah.
Right? I would say it's a little unorthodox. But
I could see how you would get the face if all of a sudden you were the best. If out of everyone there, you were the best at something, and then everyone was making fun of your form or your process and how you do it. So I could kind of see why JP kind of lashed out.
All right, are runners athletes to you?
Runners athletes?
Does that make a good athlete?
This is why I kind of
roll my eyes a little bit.
I kind of do too because it makes me think of all the kids that did cross country in high school.
Yeah, all the cross country kids, phenomenal endurance guys, and they have willpower. Those guys never played other sports.
This is why I would say no is because all the other sports involve cardio, but you're also doing something
and a ball.
Yeah, you're achieving
hand eye coordination.
You're achieving some sort of goal with hand eye coordination and cardio combined. So that's why I would say it's athletic but not a sport. Does that make sense?
I guess a little bit. No, I could never do that. I'm not a runner. Don't have any. I don't want to be a runner. So that's why I'm taking shots at.
Yeah, running's terrible. Hey. Speaking of sports, should we let the listeners know about the sport of kings and our triumphant return? Drab's been on one today.
I've been on one all week. I've had a million different ideas.
I don't know what it is. Drab all of a sudden is becoming an entrepreneur and having a billion stokes in the fire. And today Drab fielded a call when we were doing our
Open Line Thursday.
But what were you talking? Oh, the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, the Kentucky Derby got a lot of calls today. And one of those calls and one of those calls came from someone who owns an LLC and is involved in the horse racing biz. And Drab is trying to open an old wound of ours and and rope us back into the horse industry.
Well, I should have to say, every May, I feel this itch of wanting to be involved in horse racing. It's so electric. It's so much fun. The Derby is and the Triple Crown. That the idea of having a stake in that is so appealing to me. Of course, you can lose money. And of course, you probably will lose money. But it's just by chance. Somebody called today, said they've been in the business for decades.
That sounds very Medhurst-like.
I know. This is how we lost money the first time.
I know.
And he was an older guy, and he's been doing it so long. And then, of course, my mind went to, hey, we should, Valdez, we should should be partners with this guy.
Well, this isn't fair because Drab is dragging this back out again. And he knows right around Derby week is where I am most vulnerable to get sucked back in, because even when you own a trotter or a horse that's a pacer, a horse that you ride at Rosecroft, even when they make the turn, then it's exhilarating.
Well, so we got into trotters like 10 years ago. If you don't know what a trotter is, it's the Nubs horse racing.
It's the one that Jokic likes.
It's like a pony with a carriage on it with a guy in there. And it's embarrassing. It's kind of embarrassing. So the guy today has a long history in Florida and Maryland of owning horses. I threw the idea out to the guy of getting Valdez and I involved. He was all about it. It could be our triumphant return. Losers quit, Valdez. What about never giving up and coming back?
I owned more horses than you did.
I know. You owned a second horse.
I owned four total horses.
Oh, you owned four?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what was the name of one of the second ones?
Scoot.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll Scoot for Cash. And then the other
Scoot
one.
Scoot for Cash.
JK Geronimo. That was the only one that made any kind of money. There is something sexier about thoroughbreds.
Thoroughbreds are so sexy.
And this guy, look, the people that we were involved with beforehand were successful, but I think they were successful on a lower stake. The person that called in now is much more of a whale when it comes to these things. That's why it's very intriguing.
The guy today told me in a text message.
Drab got his number. Like he was a hot chick at a bar.
I hang up.
Hey, what's your number?
I've been texting this guy all day.
Drab's texted this guy more than his wife.
That's 100% true today. He told me he thought he had a horse that could compete in the Preakness.
Whoa.
Like, it didn't quite make it, but he said he had a horse. That is the dream. Could you imagine if you and I, Valdez, were Jason Worth? We buy some nublets into a horse, not 32 grand like Jason Worth did. And it turns out to be just one in a million, and it makes a Triple Crown.
I know. That's the lottery dream.
That is the dream.
I know.
The money you would make leading up to those races.
And plus, you know what? This is part of the allure to all of this is the amount of attention that
the
we
attention.
Would get.
No. It is a great radio bit.
I know.
It is funny. Do you remember that so if you guys didn't listen back then, like 2013, whatever it was, our Mama Grizzly was horrible. it had no business.
I think the best finish Mama Grizzly ever had was fourth.
Yeah.
And this was running with some of the
trash. We thought we were
trash.
Buying on the way up. It just never got up there. But the listeners were bet on our first race, like an hour before the race. We're watching it. And we're like middle of the pack odds to win. The listeners started betting our horse. It became like the biggest favorite I've ever seen in a horse race.
It might have been the biggest favorite ever at Ocean Downs.
There was so much money on this horse.
I think it went off at 1-9. That means you had to spend
$9 to win
one. Win $1. Yes.
Just stupid.
If you wanted to win $100, you had to put up $900.
Our horse finished in last place I think by about 200 yards.
It was embarrassing.
It was. So we got joned on so hard. It was great. The reveal to the junkies that we were back, that we were going into horse racing, was one of my favorite segments ever. It was just it was a lot of fun, and it didn't last long enough.
When you're hemorrhaging money, it doesn't last long. I don't think you're thinking about the downside of it, where vet bills cost money.
Yeah.
The carrots cost money. Transporting costs money. Well, the hay that the horse lays on costs money.
See, here's what's different. This guy's a P1. We can pay in attention dollars.
Okay.
We can pay the training stuff,
This is what I would be okay with. All right, then this is what I want you to bring to the negotiating table.
Okay, tell me.
I would be okay with splitting like 5% each, or splitting 5% total, anything between that. Okay, but I don't.
Literally gives me no movement. 5% of a horse between the both of us.
5% each, or 5% each. We split 10%. But I don't want to be on the hook for 10%, 20% of this horse's surgeries that we're going to have to pay for. Right? I don't have to pay 20% for a carrot.
Well, look,
we're going to
be paying 10% for a bullet if it gets an injury. That's what we'll be paying for.
That was the big drawback. Mm. If you can wiggle your way into the horse racing industry for a flat buy-in without any of the upkeep, I'm all for it.
All right. Well, let's see how good of a negotiator we are, and see if we can get a piece of the action.
I know it's going to happen too.
Right.
Saturday, you're going to text me around 6:18 after they do some story on frat bros that went in and bought a horse for $5,000.
I'll never forget. I will never forget. Charismatic. I don't know how old that 15 years ago, that horse. They bought that horse for $60,000, and it was a group of like 10 guys. And they just put a couple. That thing won the Kentucky Derby, and they spent like a few grand each.
Drabbit's chasing that ultimate boys trip feeling.
Yeah, the ultimate. You don't think that wouldn't be the ultimate boys trip?
I know it would be. Hey, can you imagine us in Pimlico in our suits?
Here's your owners and trainers: Bob Baffert, Dwayne Lucas, Matt Valdez,
trained by Chad Brown. I'd be excited. Besides,
it would be a lot of fun.
So I don't know. We might do it. We got to figure out if it's possible again. I just know. Drab's scheming over there. If he's bringing up. Horse getting back into the horse business. I know Drab's cooking up something.
Yeah, that means Drab is desperate.
Oh, okay.
That means my credit card bill this month was through the roof.
What's funny is people without money go to play Keno and Lotto and whatever. Anytime Drab is in desperate need, he brings back horse racing.
That is 100% true. Hit that one outer.
Cameos in horse racing. That's what Drab's all into right now.
All right, let's take a quick break, Valdez. When we come back, what do you want to get into here?
Oh, I want to talk about gambling at Dave & Buster's, Lurch's weird naked dream. And speaking of naked, the guy's riffing on pre-rolled condoms this week. I want to get into that, too.
All right, love it. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 128. Hey, before we get back into everything, I want to let you guys know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Don't Sleep Energy drink supports me, supports Drabby, supports Bit Season. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code Bit Season for 10% off every order. That's every order, Drab. Follow and like on social media at Don't Sleep Energy.
I believe we got some more on the way. Mike heard EV's call plea. Out yesterday,
his plea.
So he said he'd send some more for EB, who has drank, I don't know, 95% of
he takes,
the stack.
Takes all of our sugar-free Don't Sleeps.
Yeah, that's all right, though. It's all good.
Hey, speaking of sleep, on today's show, I had a dream. It was MLK. I had a dream.
Yeah.
But Jason had a dream. What?
You're funny. Go.
But Jason had a dream that was a little more intriguing than mine. And what's funny is I completely spaced the fact that Jason has all of these weird, wild dreams. Like his mind has some of the craziest thoughts that any of us do.
Well, you know what was interesting about, and you guys need to go back and listen to the podcast if you haven't heard it yet. But Jason really doesn't share embarrassing things like that anymore.
You know what? You're right.
He doesn't share sexual stories. He kind of shuts that stuff down. This, for Jason,
this is almost like a bombshell.
It was a bombshell to tell people that he's dreaming about J.P. Finley naked, which just means nothing. Just kind of amusing
and funny. It's not like we think Jason is gay or has right. sexual thoughts about men, but it's funny. It's funny the fact that in J.P. or in Jason's macho brain, he's thinking about J.P. naked.
I wonder if we should have J.P. Finley come in when he got here to see what his reaction to that was. Is that flattering? To be honest
with you, if anyone that was thinking about me naked, I would kind of be flattered about it.
I think so too.
But isn't don't they say in dreams and dream psychology, like being naked, that's like isn't that a form of like being exposed about like being insecure?
What about someone else naked though?
I think
just
maybe
you're horny.
Maybe you're horny. Number one, you're horny. Number two, you might. Some people say you might be able to see through them. I think that's an interpretation on a dream.
Hey, I want to get your thoughts on what EB said about dreams yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the reason why Jason brought it up is because we were talking about remembering our dreams, and EB said that nobody. Has sexual dreams, basically. Nobody goes all the way in their dreams. But
hold on. In terms of
sex. I think he was alluding to sex.
That's wrong. I've had a dream where I've had a vivid sexual dream.
I have vivid sexual dreams all the time. Maybe once a week, twice.
Wait, once a week? That seems excessive.
Now look. Don't get any. I'm not having wet dreams. There's nothing to clean up. There's nothing like that.
Yeah, there's no mess. But I know what you mean.
I'm having such erotic dreams all the time, or enough where it's honestly, it's like one of the best feelings. And then the disappointment when you wake up.
I know exactly what you what you're talking about. Because sometimes you'll be in the middle of a dream. And what's weird is it's like these dreams are with women that you don't like. You don't know who this woman is.
Sometimes I do.
Oh, you do?
Sometimes, yes. Women like, from your past, you know. I don't know, women that you've known. I don't know, women.
It could be coworkers.
They're usually women that I know.
Oh, usually whenever I have a dream like that, it will be like
just some random body with no face?
No. It's like the Truman Show. Remember when Truman put together like this woman that he met? It's like that, where like it'll be like the face of someone that I knew in college with like the body of of like a porno of a porno really? Chick. Yeah. That's like my brain is putting together like it's almost like a robot girl.
A little
build your own adventure girl.
I can honestly say that's never happened to me.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden it's got the body of the rugby players I used to bang in college. Right? Well, right, Trev?
You know what you know. Well, didn't you think that was a little, if that's true for EB and he thinks that nobody's having erotic dreams, isn't that a little concerning? What's going on with him?
I don't know, because he's the one who always claims his libido is off the charts.
And I think that I can't say with 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure I've had sex in these dreams. Like I'm having sex, and
I've had sex in my dreams as well. And you wake up, like you said, disappointed and pitching a tent.
Those dreams are so amazing.
I know you don't want them to stop.
Never want to. When you wake up, you're so frustrated that
you never
it's not real.
You never finished at the end.
Well, yeah, of course. That's what he was alluding to. Just the
well, that does well. That I mean, that
line.
Doesn't happen
in the dream.
That's
and in real life.
That's happened literally maybe once to me in my life. I'm actually jealous of people that could do that.
Can you cross the finish line in your dream but not in real life? Is what I'm asking.
Hold on,
I think you can.
What do you mean? Hold on, What do you mean?
Can a guy?
Yeah.
Be his L in the dream, but not in real life. What dream? How are you not following what I'm saying?
I'm not confusing. You're saying you can't do it in real life? What do you mean by can't do it in real life?
I'm asking you. You said that you never crossed the finish line in your dream.
In my dream.
Yes. What I'm saying is, can you cross the finish line in your dream, right? Like you finish, you're done.
Yeah. Never. No, okay, I got you.
You pregnant a woman.
Yeah. No, that never happens in my dream. There's no the race is never finished in the dream.
It's very
beat her out. I know.
Are we back on the same page?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, every single dream I've had has never been an L dream.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't think that's ever happened for me. Maybe it has once, but
I think it happens when you've first reached puberty. Mm. But anyways, what's weird is the weird thing I found about Jason's dream is it's not that JP was naked. JP Finley was naked in it. It was the position in which JP Finley was in.
What was his position again?
Didn't he say he was like on all fours on the chair, like sitting on the chair, kind of almost
like a
cat, like an animal, almost
like a
bird perch,
an Annabelle type thing. That sounds spooky to me.
and then he's fist bumping.
And it sounds very sexual.
Yeah, and he's fist bumping Brian Mitchell. Well, maybe there's some like. This is just me. This is me spitballing a theory. I'm not saying it's true. I don't know this, but you know, Jason has
repressed.
He has some sort of relationship with Brian Mitchell, right?
Maybe go to dinner.
Yeah, they go to dinner. Maybe they have like the same kind of thoughts of JP Finley. Like maybe Jason and B Mitch are the jocks, and like JP Finley is like the cuck little reporter that they have in their brain, and then that's spewed into his subconscious.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just it's a stretch. That's what I'm saying. It's a theory.
Now I'm starting to think this dream is a little bit weird. And
because of it's you know, isn't it the position? Is the position is what's really jarring.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
I don't know. We'll update you guys if Jason will continue.
You know,
Jason.
Let us know your theories, your interpretations of the dream, because I would love to hear it. I need, because the more you sound it out, the more kind of sexualized it feels. But I don't think it's a sexual dream. If it was a sexual, I don't know, because maybe we have different ideas of sex dreams. Maybe a dream can be sexual without having sex.
Sure, absolutely. What's your take on the wearing condoms 2 hours early story that we did?
Well, I thought it was classic junk.
That
number
was
one
classic.
In terms of radio. Definitely segment of the week.
Well,
maybe that should be a staple on the show that we do now.
This season here,
we highlight one of the segments of the week.
Well, I think that was one of my moments of the week, and then you playing the Jack Nicklaus audio. Those got the two biggest laughs of the week.
I can't believe how young and dumb and awful I sound like. Without putting it lightly, I sounded awful.
Well, it was a nervous situation for yourself.
It was.
Going back to the condoms,
yeah.
Wearing them 2 hours early. First off, condoms stink. I wish we could just abolish them.
Right. There should be a better way of contraception.
There really I don't know about preventing STDs, but they do. Isn't there a male birth control pill, or are they working on that?
I feel like they've been working on that for a decade.
Yeah. Well, it probably maybe come out at some point.
But in terms of STDs, there's got to be some sort of a better way to prevent them, a better way to prevent pregnancy without taking a pill that'll mess up your insides and your hormones every month for a female. What?
I just don't. At the end of the day, it just doesn't seem like – how does something like this
– it doesn't seem practical.
The research and development. Like, why was this a need for a condom company to invest into research of putting on a condom 2 hours early?
What's the goal for a guy?
Was that such a big need that we needed to figure out that we had to – someone had to develop a condom that you could put on before the date?
Well, maybe their research showed and their polling showed that part of the reasons why guys don't like using condoms is because they don't like having to put it on in the heat of passion. I think maybe there could have been studies that linked it to that, which is why they had their R&D come up with a pre-rolled condom that you put on. That'd be the reasoning as to why they came up with it. But like I said, I don't think it seems practical.
Hey, will you tell the listeners your theory about the condom scam that's going on?
I
don't buy into it.
I think there's a racket out there that people haven't really dug into, and this is something that I discovered in college.
I'm willing to bet, without searching here first, that Google proves you wrong in 2 seconds.
Okay. Well, let's stop trying to poke holes in everything.
Okay. Oh, sorry. All right.
But just listen to what I'm saying here. All right. Back at the University of Maryland, back when I was having protected sex, I was hooking up with this girl who lived in apartments off of Route 1. And I go over to her place for the first time.
I want you to know this whole the whole point of this whole story is of all these.
No. This is not the point. This is not the point of the story.
Okay.
But I guarantee you guys have the same kind of may have had the same experiences. And so I go over to her place, and we're making out, foreplay and everything, and she tells me, like the classy lady she is, to reach into her drawer full of condoms.
God. that's wife material. Yeah, right there.
The classy woman. Mm-hmm. All right, but you know what? But at least she's safe and we're being safe. Mm-hmm. And I reach into the or I open the drawer, and there are a billion gold wrappers in there. It looked like Willy Wonka. Okay, the thing is stashed full of Trojan Magnum condoms. If you're unfamiliar with those are the golden ones that come in the black box, and they are presented for men with larger penises.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that goes through my head is is there is no way that I'm going to be able to pleasure this woman. If she has a drawer full of Magnum condoms, I mean, what is she doing?
All right. I know you're not going to make her happy.
Yeah, I know. And I know. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, "Hey, do you have anything? You have anything else my size? You got anything for me? Hey, where's the tiny drawer on the bottom, Matthew? Hey, where's the kids section? Okay. So instead of saying that and embarrassing myself and getting this woman ready for her displeasure, mm-hmm. I take one and I strap it on. And I have a come to Jesus moment. What?
All right.
I put it around my penis. Yeah. I roll it down, and the thing fits just like a regular
whatever. So it was just tight.
It was cutting off my circulation. I roll it on, and the thing fits like a regular normal Trojan condom. Mm. All right. So My theory is, and I think this is true, is that Trojan makes Magnum condoms, not like the Magnum XL, not like the super long dong, massive condoms. They make these Magnum condoms so it looks like you have a big one mm-hmm. when you carry them around, or when you bring them out in the heat of passion. I think the gold wrapper for women is an aphrodisiac. What?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? The gold wrapper says something, and I think that if you carry around something that has the gold wrapper, that it implies confidence. And it's telling your woman she's going to be in for a good time. When all in all, they are just like the regular Trojans that are out there. They are the same size. They fit the same. They're all the same.
That's just what you want to do before intercourse with a woman. Set really high expectations.
The packaging is just different. It's a huge marketing scam by Trojan.
It's like
extra strength Advil. It's the same thing. There's Advil and extra strength Advil. It's the same effing thing. It cures your headache the same. It relieves pain the same. It's the same thing as a regular Trojan, as a gold wrapper Trojan. Right. And I stand by that. And this isn't me trying to say I fit into a gold wrapper condom.
Now, let me tell you something. You're right about a lot of stuff. You couldn't be more wrong about this. Now, look, I have never bought a Magnum condom in my life. I'm an average gentleman, okay?
Yeah.
But my college roommate Brandon was not. Okay? Now, don't ask me. I don't remember.
Yeah, how do you know this one?
Well, he was my sweet mate freshman year, and then we lived together for the next 2 years. I have a very vivid memory. This guy, it was a summer sausage. Okay? It's not that he walked around naked, but I remember at some point he was bragging and showed up or something like that.
Typical guy stuff.
Typical guy stuff. We're just horsing around.
Just locker room talk.
And he showed, but I've also, he used Magnum condoms.
Okay. Were they the regular Magnum?
Regular Magnum.
Okay, because don't get it twisted. I'm not saying like Magnum XLs aren't for XL penises. I'm saying the regular Trojan gold wrapper Magnum condoms.
I know exactly what you're saying. I have a very vivid memory of him, of us being curious and him opening a Magnum condom and showing me how big it was. How big the latex was. And I was flabbergasted that a male anatomy could actually fill one of those things.
You rolled it out like snake skin?
He rolled it out and stretched it a little bit. And
every condom does that.
No. I'd used other condoms before, so I had seen, I knew what it was way bigger. It was ridiculously bigger. And I know that from seeing it, that they don't match up. Now, also, I'm on the Magnum site right here.
Okay. This is propaganda. Propaganda.
You think people haven't ever looked into this before? This is how this is. I told you this whole thing was a setup for Valdez to brag.
No, it's not. It's not a setup. I'm telling you. There.
How big do you have to be a Trojan man? Magnum man.
Okay. They have a size chart. Hey, this might be one of the most embarrassing research Google searches you've done.
If you are 7 inches or longer, with at least a girth of 4.75 inches of girth, you may fit best with a Trojan Magnum condom. Likewise, if you find a standard condom feels too tight, you might want the extra room of a Magnum.
They feel they're the same. They feel the same. It's all scam. Mm. And also, you know how this is what it's like. So you get a large shirt from Nike. It fits different than a large shirt from Adidas.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. The same thing with Magnum and regular Trojans.
Mm. Valdez, I've been out of the condom game for quite a few years now. Yeah. Do you think that they're silly now? Do you think that they've made it? I've been with my wife for many years now. Do you think that they're sillier than they were 15 years ago?
You mean like thinner?
Thinner, more pleasurable. Or is it that I'm telling you is the marketing scam, not the size or the length. They always say they're thinnest condom ever.
90% thin.
Yeah, right?
I don't know.
Oh, if your pickle is like an eggplant, it might be time to consider Trojan Magnum condoms. Grab the black and gold package for a large size condom that'll rock your world and your partner's too.
It's marketing. I'm telling you, it's marketing. There'll be guys out there that will tell you the same. Mm. This is what I want you to do, Drab. Mm-hmm. I want you to go to 7-Eleven, mm-hmm. go buy a regular Trojan, mm-hmm. and then go buy a Magnum, and then go put them both on.
Babe. These condoms here on my.
I'm doing an experiment.
An experiment for bit season. Yeah, believe me. Just what I want my wife to find condom wrappers in our bathroom.
Well, it's better than her saying, no, the Magnums are huge. what are you talking about, babe? Yeah, those Magnums are huge. No, it's bigger as the Magnum Double XL. Yeah,
you thought you were a Magnum man? What are you, you pathetic little twerp?
Yeah, Drab's in the corner. Yeah, tell me more.
it always comes up Valdez.
Hey, you know what else this story made me think about when they were talking about condoms?
Yeah.
I thought a lot about AWOD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought a lot about AWOD.
Tell me why.
And just when he used to work here, he used to think it was cool to keep a condom in his wallet. And then that was the most uncool thing you could do as a man.
The most desperate thing ever. Because you know if you're going to have sex. Like, you don't – it's very rare that you just stumble upon some magic moment where a girl, like, throws herself at you.
I'm such a man. I'm just going to stumble into
– There's always time to drop inside a 7-Eleven and to pick one up if you think it could happen. Or just don't use one. That's my advice.
Mouth only.
That's why AWOD never got girls. Because he was desperate.
It's off-putting.
Of course it's off-putting.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think if AWOD had the gold wrapper hanging out his wallet like the Wonka factory?
No, I made that zing. I was actually thinking of AWOD when I made that zing about being desperate and she pulls your pants down and you're already spring-loaded with a condom on. That would be AWOD. So desperate, he's putting on one of those condoms night he goes out.
I could see Adam loading them up every single time. What about – are they designed for multiple uses?
No, I don't think so.
Well, wouldn't you be better if you pre-roll one and then all of a sudden you don't get to use it?
Hey, maybe you could pre-roll – it'd be like a jockey and you got like 7 of them on and then you're just peeling them off as you go. Just like running through so many women.
Shedding layers.
Yeah. Right.
That's funny. Hey, so you're debunking my theory.
I'm debunking it.
I'm giving you
entertaining to me, but I'm debunking.
I'm giving you anecdotal evidence.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
What? I am.
All right, Valdez. I think the other story this week that really got your attention was you were really intrigued by the gambling at Dave & Buster.
I am. Just because I want Dave & Buster's to make a comeback. Just because
you sound like EB. Where did they go? They've been massive.
No. I mean, like, I feel like more. I know they're fun, but I feel like more people should know they're fun. Like
EB was clueless.
Like carnival game, like carnival games, boardwalk games, Dave & Buster games. I feel like people should respect him more.
You heard me mention Shaq and the Pack. I went to Shaq with Shaq and the Pack because he's the guy that knows how to beat all these games, and I was desperate enough one time to go with him, not yeah, because it was him, but to win a bunch of tickets, yes, so I could buy a Nintendo Switch. Yes.
Did you get him in on horses?
I went to Dave and Buster's with him. It was packed. That place was absolutely slammed on a Wednesday at like 2 p.m.
I find Dave and Buster's to be depressing.
Why?
Because my theory is it's the divorced dad's haven.
Yeah. Where they take their kids on Saturday.
Yeah, they get their kids on Saturday. They take them to Dave and Buster's. Their kids want nothing to do with them because they see them once a month. Mm. And you look around, it's kind of depressing.
You might be onto something. I never had thought about that. Yeah, there were a lot of dads there that time I went there, but was on a Wednesday.
If you were to go hustle someone at one of these games at Dave and Buster,
yeah,
which game would you tell people to steer clear of? Because I feel like everyone would try to flex and pop a shot and pop it.
I'll be honest, that was never my game because. Real hoopers don't do the poppish.
It's a gimmick because it's all about volume of shots put up. I was a big there's two games that at Dave and Buster's that I love that I love to do. I love skee ball. I'm a skee ball expert, and then also Connect Four. I feel like I can pwn anyone in Connect Four.
See, that's the gambling game. The Connect Four would make a great gambling game. The story of that we brought up this week that you can gamble now at Dave and Buster's.
I would take plus money odds and let you have the first drop too. I would let you be red.
Is there an advantage to going second? In the NFL?
Yeah. Well, I think some people like to go first because they feel like they get to dictate the game more. Mm-hmm. When I just feel like I'm such a Connect Four vet, I'm so savvy that I can go second and still win.
I'll be honest, I've never played Connect Four at Dave and Buster's.
Do you
I know how to play Connect Four.
It's just a big board of screens here, and then even more so. I think you'd be into this one, Drab.
I'm really good. I'm good at racing. I'm pretty good at racing games.
I'm great at Mario Kart.
Do they have Mario Kart?
Of course, Mario Kart's a big arcade game.
I'm silly at motorcycle games.
Oh, I hate those. I have no balance.
Yeah. You're not an athlete.
Yeah. Shocker drafts likes a crotch rocket. they have basketball Connect Four. Have you seen those?
I think I've seen that. Yeah,
where you have to shoot, and whichever lane the ball goes into, that's where you.
Is it like Plinko though? It goes in and it bounces around.
No, it doesn't bounce around at all. Mm-hmm. You have to make the certain basket for it to be on that side.
So the game that I did really well at, it's not even a game. You know, this is one that Shaq told me how you rack up tickets at. It's you like. You put in coins and it pushes the big stop pile.
I always think that's a scam.
No, that's the game that you can just rack up tickets on it and best bang for your buck if you know what you're doing.
How do you? What's the ploy? What's the
it's
scam?
Like a volume play. You got to have it tuned up before you play. He says that those things mechanically get off. So you got to have them like reset it, fill it with the tokens that it's supposed to be. All kind of like I forget what things, but then it's like I count 1, 2, 3 coin, 1, 2, 3 coin, 1, 2, and you get the rhythm down. Once you get the rhythm down, that's all those games are is getting the rhythm. Then you can kind of clean up, and it's pushing those things. It's like a Mr. Plow. It's just moving that big pile.
Are you getting money with that or just tickets?
No, you get tickets.
Hey, have you
the
ever
tickets see- buy the good stuff?
Hey, have you ever seen the? I need to know if this is real. Or
oh,
not.
You got to go on Wednesdays because everything's half price.
Oh, this I need to know if this is real or not. I've seen these videos online or wherever where they're at the claw machine, and these claw machines have like iPhones in them, or it has Oculus or like a drone that's in like a packaging, and they take this high powered magnet. And they hold it at the edge of the claw machine, and they're able to move stuff into the bin Of the claw machine.
I feel like if you got caught doing that, that would get you. I don't know. I feel like if you got caught doing that, that's an arrestable offense. You're basically stealing. Yeah. But I'll be honest. I'm the world's worst claw machine player.
I'm awful too.
It's impossible. I've never won anything my entire life on a dumb claw machine.
Cakes always says his daughter Juliet is a great claw machine.
I don't know. I don't know what makes how you become good at it.
You got to know the angles. Hey, do you when you go to Dave and Buster's, do you find some child to give your tickets to?
No. Everything's on a card now.
Oh,
it's all digital. So you go up to it, you swipe it. Drab T-shirt's got 30,000 points. To buy a Nintendo Switch, you need 350,000. I've just been there for 8 hours. It's a racket.
I just know that like when I would go to the arcades, the arcade games
that's
with
old
the
school,
tickets,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would never use them because number one, the things that you get with your tickets are like jacks. I don't want jacks or I don't want playing cards with Chuck E. Cheese on the back.
The stuff they have there is pretty good, but you got to have a billion tickets for it.
That's why
I took my kids to 7-Eleven or 7-Eleven. What are you, Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah.
I hated it. I hated Chuck E. Cheese.
Why? I remember growing up Chuck E. Cheese being
games,
awesome.
Yeah, me too. It was just
where a kid can be a kid.
It was just like the games were nubs. I'm a Monkey Joe's guy.
What's a Monkey Joe?
Monkey Joe's has some arcade games where they got a lot of moon bounces.
Oh. Huh.
So it was just too many. It was like maybe 7-Elevens for older kids. I don't really know. Chuck E. Cheese. I was not a fan of Chuck E. Cheese. Now, I do like their pizza, though.
I would. The Chuck E. Cheese growing up used to have a Simpsons game that I used to play all the time. Where our ball,
the Simpson arcade game?
No. It's where like the ball used to roll into Homer's mouth. They also, which is weird, they had a Jurassic Park game where you got to shoot dinosaurs.
Seems a bit extreme.
It was very extreme. Do you know what? You know what you need to gamble on at Dave and Buster's?
What's that?
Time Crisis.
We
need to play.
I am
elite at Time
you
Crisis.
Are? We you think need they to, still have Time Crisis.
Oh, they have to have Time Crisis. We need to do co-op together.
Were you the red or the blue?
I was always the red.
I was always the blue.
We should team up.
I think the blue is on the right.
Yes, red's on the left.
Yeah,
I was always on the left.
I always like being on the right.
I always like being on the left.
Yeah.
Because I was a right foot guy and I could get my stance.
Mm. The other game that I remember. Huge arcade. There was a game called Silent Scrum.
Oh, I remember that. You used to play against another dude and you used to find him with your sniper rifle.
Yeah.
They used to like face each other and you'd had to like go through the buildings and find everybody.
Yes.
Or not find everybody, but to find the guy that you're playing against.
Yeah, he was
you know
a bad guy or something.
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like American Sniper. It was basically American Sniper before it was.
That game, I got to play that game. That was some old memories.
Yeah. Do you remember House of the Dead?
I know the name. I don't know if I remember it off the top.
It's where you just killed zombies. Oh, do you know what was so great?
What about the Aerosmith game?
Oh, there was an Aerosmith game?
What? You are young. There was an Aerosmith arcade game for my entire childhood.
What was it called? Dream On or something?
It was not a Revolution or something. Yeah, Revolution.
And what did you do?
I think you shot records. It was some, countdown thing where you're like running through the levels.
Okay.
Yeah, and it played Aerosmith music during it.
One quick thing about Time Crisis that I'll never forget is that thing used to have that fake gun used to have the kickback of a real gun on it.
It was loaded. It was a powerful gun.
That thing made you feel like a man.
Yeah, I think that was so intriguing about the game. That's one of the things they did really well. Time Crisis. That game was butt hard too.
I know. You could never get past like
socks, and you're just getting mauled.
You would shoot the boss, and his life would never go down because it wasn't the final engagement with him.
The game was butt hard.
But down,
still fun.
Down.
Still fun.
All right, Valdez.
All right, that was nice trip down memory lane.
All right, so Valdez not here next week. He's at Kiowa Island.
I am.
Get your cameos in. We'll do them on Monday before he leaves, and if not, we'll pick them up when he comes back.
You know, and Drab's very curious. Tell him your experiences between Magnums and regular condoms.
Yeah, please, let me know.
Show him a picture before and after.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BitSeason, and you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you.
Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.